In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All men are indeed weary of this world. And we as a church are not the least of these. Perhaps, though, we are the worst. We are indeed the most weary due to our hope. For we know that God has taken up our cause. He has become one of us in order to die for us. We know that he has risen from the dead to lead us away, to lead us away from our own malicious hearts and away from this dark and sinful world. And so for us it is, as St. Paul says, that for us to be apart from the body that is to die is better. It is good. It is a desired outcome, for to die is to be with the Lord. But just as it is with the beginning of life, with conception, it is not our lot in life. It is not given to us to decide when that time is right. We are not free to say when we've had enough. We are not free to determine when our work here on this earth is done. We do not know, as much as we'd like to claim, how much we can handle. However unfilling or painful it might seem to us, life is a gift from God. It is meant for good. And death is a passage, but it is still the enemy. And so if we die, so be it. It's an enemy that we are willing to face because we know what's on the other side. We are weary and we are ready to go. We are ready to be with our Lord in paradise. And we are confident of the end. But while there is fruit for our labor here, we desire the reward of Christ. Whether we live or we die, we are his. And we recognize that indeed now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to hear the word of the Lord and repent. For the Lord requires us to remain here for a time. And if he requires it, then he will provide what is necessary. He himself must provide. And if he calls us to remain, it is our duty to tell the truth, to see this world for what it really is, and to see ourselves for what we really are. Sinners. Sinners loved and redeemed by God who are caught up in a cosmic battle where evil seems to win. And yet we pray so fervently for the end. This is why the vision is given to St. John on Patmos, the book of Revelation, the apocalypse of St. John, because it always seems as though wickedness is reigning and prospering and these horrible things are happening. And if we do not have faith, if we did not trust that what God says is real, and we only went by what we see, and what we experience with our own reason and senses, then we believe that all was lost. But we do not believe that. We believe that Jesus lives. And that is why we pray so fervently for the end. We know that this world is not all that there is. We know that this is not our home. It cannot be our home, that our hearts have already flown to that better and brighter city promised by Christ. We do not belong here, and thus we cannot be fully satisfied here, no matter how good it gets here, no matter who is elected president, and no matter what the next wave of prosperity and health and well-being bring us, we cannot be satisfied. We don't want to fight this war. We don't want to win what we are fighting for. We want to go. We want to leave this behind. Leave behind a world of sin. Because we hate our sins. Our own complicity. And we hate the unfairness of this world. We hate the lies, the manipulation, and the pain. We belong to and with Jesus. And we will never be at home here. And we know soon he will bring us there to be with him. And so the Holy Spirit comforts us through the prophet Isaiah, which we heard this morning. It is only a little while, the prophet Isaiah says, until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest. And in that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the Bible, the gospel. They will recognize it as the word of God. They will listen, they will hear, and they will believe. That doesn't only apply to the deaf-mute in the region of the Decapolis. The man with Jesus' spit on his tongue and fingers in his ears. It applies also to us, to you. We were once deaf, but the waters of holy baptism have commanded our ears to open so that we would hear. In a similar way, Isaiah explains that the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. And what will they behold? They will behold truth, beauty, and goodness. And this also does not apply only to the men that Jesus miraculously opens their eyes, but it describes us. It describes you. The Word of God reveals to us what is real and true and beautiful. Shows us how our eyes have so often been fooled and clouded in darkness. And finally, he says that the humble, that is the unimportant, the insignificant, the disenfranchised, those who are put out of place in this world and its constant bids of power, you shall increase in your joy in the Lord. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. That is the King, the Messiah. That is Jesus, born of the Virgin Mary, the crucified and resurrected one. The deaf, the blind, the humble, and the poor. This is our lot on this side of glory, and we would have it no other way because these are the people who belong to Jesus. And that's where we want to be. So it is that this is a promise to you. Your joy shall increase. You shall continue to rejoice in Christ and grow in it evermore. Thus says the prophet. And the prophet continues, and he says that in the end, the terrible one, the deceiver of Eve, along with his many minions, human and otherwise, will be brought to nothing. They will not stand in the day. The scornful one is consumed. But then Isaiah gets to the particular burden of the church in our age. He says that the human agents of Satan who watch for iniquity, who plot and scheme for power, who seek to control and oppress and steal, they will be cut off. He speaks of those who make a man an offender by a word. That's the phrase the prophet uses. They make a man an offender by a word. That is, they simply make accusations. They deny the actual character of and actions of individuals. And they see nothing but a group which they have defined and created, generally by some accident of birth or origin. And every member of this arbitrary group, which they have created in their own minds, is held accountable for all that anyone in that group has ever done. Sound familiar? And there is no escaping it. No matter how good you are, no matter how smart you are, or how able you are, your character, your actions don't matter because you have no individual personality or reality. You are only defined by the group that other people have placed you in. There is zero escape. They make a man an offender by a word. And this is demonic. It is absolute madness. It makes the regime of Stalin look like something like justice and due process. No one is safe in such an environment. Isaiah tells us that it is coming to an end, that the madness will not endure, that this lack of justice, this refusal of mercy, this judgment without cause, the denial of individual reality, of liberty, of character, of the entirety of the vision of man in the Holy Scripture, this will all cease. It will come to an end. Because God became a man. The Holy One of Israel did not just become a member of a group. He became a human being. He became one of us. And there is hope in him. He does not slander us, nor does he come to accuse. He comes to bless, to prosper, and preserve. The Lord who redeemed Abraham redeems us. The Lord who opened the ears of the man in the region of Decapolis opens our ears in order to speak and bestow faith. These fickle human judges and their demonic overlords will not endure. They will go to the fiery place that was prepared for them. And in the meantime, God says of you, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face grow pale. But when he sees his children, that is the work of my hands in his midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. The Lord says to you, Ephatha, that is, be opened. Hear his gospel. Do not mistake the character of this age in which we live or the hostility of this world towards the people of God. You do not belong here. You cannot appease them. You will never be satisfied nor satisfy them. You cannot make a utopia here on earth. You cannot fit in. For you are God's people. And God's people have never fit in. Do not make deals with the devil in an attempt to do so. For it is not worth another 1,000 years on this earth in this living hell under his terms. And it won't matter anyway what deal you make, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And he hates you. Do not be fooled. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ. Do good to all men, even to those who hate and persecute you. Show the compassion and the goodness of Christ, and confess even as you pray for the end. Hallow the Holy One of Israel and wait upon him. The present earth is occupied by wicked forces. This is true. It has been so since time immemorial. It is not a new problem. This world is filled with the instruments of war and torture as men strive for power under demonic influence. And Isaiah says to you, in a little while it shall be turned into a fruitful field, and it will be given to you as an inheritance. This is the only thing that matters. This is the overarching reality that undoes all other things. Jesus lives. Jesus became a man, was crucified for you, and now lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. In Jesus' name, amen.